Today we continue our series that we began a couple of weeks ago. Thank you for the wonderful music today, Pastor Mark, and all of you who were involved. That was very uplifting and very appropriate this time of year, and they did a great, great job. We'll continue our series, What's in a Name? What has been your experience so far this year? I wonder if I were to go around the room this morning and talk about the Christmas season and the Thanksgiving season, what has it been like for you so far? I hope that the first few weeks that we've been talking about Jesus and what he brings to the season have helped you, have been an uplifting moment for you. We've been talking about what's in a name. What is it about Jesus that sets him apart this time of year? Why the big fuss? Why does the church have to make such a big deal over Jesus Christ this time of year? And why is he any better than anybody else this time of year? Isaiah chapter 9 is where we'll continue our text this morning. You can find your place there. Follow along on our YouVersion app or our church app. You can follow along there as well with the sermon notes. And today we will be talking about the everlasting Father. It's been interesting as we talk down through these things. I know I've been challenged personally. And as the prophet Isaiah began to speak about Jesus, and at the time of his speaking, it was over 700 years before Jesus would come to the earth. And the implications of what he was saying at that point could not fully be felt. But here we are, some 2,000 years after Jesus, still talking about this Messiah that had come, and the implications of what Jesus can do in the practical life of humanity is where we find ourselves today. Let's read the text and talk about it again from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. There's the title of the message we talked about 2 weeks ago. Mighty God, we spoke about this last week, and we talked about why he is mighty and what that means to us. And today, Everlasting Father, and then next week we will talk about the Prince of Peace. Now, as we unpack the significance of who Jesus is last week as Mighty God, I hope that you heard the sermon. This will be somewhat of a continuation in thought this week. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about this counselor that wants to come into your life and give you the wisdom that you seek. The things that you still have questions about in this life, the wonderful counselor has come to intervene in your life and give you answers for those things that you still seek. Well, today we're going to be concentrating on that phrase, Everlasting Father. And all of a sudden, Jesus being revealed to us as a father becomes very, very personal. Now, just that word father, especially this time of year, begins to elicit feelings in human beings, memories and emotions. They begin to churn up inside of us. And maybe for you, the memories and the images of your earthly father were fantastic. I hope they were. Maybe dad was and was great when you think about him. And you've got those great memories built in. And I can tell you this as a father myself. I think I speak for all the fathers here today. It's not easy being a dad. Can I hear an amen to that today? We are far from perfect. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Dads are far from perfect. We make our share of mistakes for sure. And if you grow up and you remember looking back on your father and the memories that you have today are good memories, then be thankful. Be thankful. What more could we ask for as a dad than to know that our children would think well of us from their childhood? But the reality is, not all of us have fond memories today about our earthly fathers. As I begin to speak about this everlasting Father today, all of a sudden emotions have already come to your mind that are not so pleasant. And sometimes we begin to, when we think about our earthly Father, we begin to take those emotions and feelings and we begin to project this image of our earthly Father onto our everlasting Father. And I'd like to say to us today that as we look at our everlasting Father through the lens of our earthly Father, be very careful and understand that today as we begin to look at who God is, Jesus specifically, when we really believe in this everlasting Father, we can think better, perhaps, than the negative images that you have. Sometimes we can cloud the eternal with the present. Sometimes we can misunderstand what God wants to do in our lives because of an earthly, tangible experience. And God wants to come into the picture today, Jesus himself, and say, listen, I want to give you a picture of an everlasting Father that will correct some of the things that perhaps you know as negative images of an earthly Father. He wants to show you what the perfect fatherhood would look like. Now, I think the writer of Scripture here understood the shortcomings of earthly fathers. And he wanted us to understand that God will be strong in the areas that an earthly father can fail us, thankfully. And just for a second, let's not look at him through that same lens today. Let's look at him right here from the verse that we just read. Let's look at him through the lens of Scripture, because when we do, we're going to see an everlasting father that we've never seen before, perhaps. Because when we look at Jesus, our everlasting Father, through the lens of Scripture as we should, and please don't ever forget it, we are going to see what our hearts really crave in the perfect Father. And there are three things that jump out to me today from this everlasting Father phrase about Jesus that I want to give to you today. The first thing is this: an everlasting Father is truly satisfied with you. He is satisfied with you. Now, the words, "I love you," "I'm proud of you," maybe they were elusive to you as a child. Maybe you didn't hear those enough. You know, it's just like that carrot hanging out there on a stick. You just can't quite ever get those, although you crave them. And your dad never said that. Your dad never came along with those words that you perhaps felt like you needed on a constant basis to help you. Well, today I want you to understand that God will not leave you wanting in those areas. Back a few years ago, there was a study done by a Gallup organization through Baylor University. I think it's very fascinating what people think about God. This is what they found during this study. 31.4% said they believe in an authoritarian God. Now, this is the God that would be an angry God, angry at humanity's sins, ready to cast judgment and bring that judgment to the world. 31.4%. Furthermore, 23% said they believe in a benevolent God. Now, this benevolent God is quite the opposite, who is forgiving, who is accepting of anyone who repents. Okay, so there's the opposite side of that coin. 16% said they believe in a critical God, who's got this judgment eye on the world, and he is critical of some things, but he's not going to intervene, either to punish or to correct or comfort any. He's just going to kind of stand there and be critical of things. And then lastly, 24.4% said they believe in a distant God, who is more of a cosmic force that just launched the world into existence through creation, and he left the world spinning on its own, and he doesn't have anything else to do with the world since that time. So you can see it's interesting from this poll, and I believe these same numbers, if we were to do the same poll today, would carry over, that for a lot of people, and for the largest majority, as this poll showed, a lot of people believe in an authoritarian God who's just angry at us, who just is standing there with his eternal whip ready to get at us when we do something wrong. But one of the most liberating moments that I've ever experienced in my life, and I did so as a teenager, was when I came to the realization that there is nothing I can do to impress God, and that I just needed to throw myself on his mercies. And as a 13-year-old boy, I had been trying to impress God for years on my own, not really understanding salvation, but just trying to think, you know what, I need to make sure I don't make God mad at me, because I know sometimes I do make him mad. Well, at the moment I realized that Jesus had come to the earth to die for my sins, it was a very freeing moment. And maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you're trying to perform for the everlasting Father today. Maybe you're trying to gain his favor. Let me repeat to you today, an everlasting Father is satisfied with you. You can't take things to a different level. You can't gain a notch with God today. He already loves you supremely. He is satisfied with you. You are his creation, and he loves you today. God is satisfied with you today. We need to quit trying to perform. You go to church, you read your Bible, you pray, not because you're overwhelmed to the grace of God in your life, but because you feel like you got to do those things. Somehow you've got to tip the scales in your favor as it relates to the God of the universe. And you're trying to outweigh the good with the bad with the good that you can do in your life. And today I'd say stop trying to impress God, because it's not getting you anywhere. He's already impressed with you. He's already in love with you today. He loves you and He's satisfied with you. He cannot love you anymore. He cannot love you any less. So rest in this fact that the Father is satisfied with you today. Here's the second thing I want you to notice today. An everlasting Father is always there for you. He is always there for you. Now maybe the images we talked about a minute ago that have come to your mind are of a father that just was not present. And perhaps some of you today have been in that family that has been the victim of a father who left. Maybe it was a divorce that happened. A dad who is there one day and is not there the next. And perhaps that was what you remember. Maybe your dad was ripped out of your life during tragedy. Maybe he gave himself to a job that never allowed him to be around you. So you were forced to grow up in a home one way or the other where dad just was not there. He wasn't there to see you make your first basketball goal. He wasn't there when you went to the awards ceremony at school. You were just there and a dad was not present in your life. He wasn't there to add safety and comfort to your home or give you comfort when you needed him to help you through a hard lesson in life. But I want to remind you today that God will always be there for you. He will never be absent in your life. Another poll that I came across from the Pew Research Group talked about some demographic trends I thought were interesting. There's actually some good news. I like to finally get some good news sometimes. And there's actually some good news about the average dads in the home today. Did you know that the modern dads' time spent at home has tripled since 1965. Time spent with children has tripled since 1965, according to research. So that's some good news today. That's actually an improvement. But did you know that that number that it has come to still only averages 7.3 hours per week per dad? That's still pretty low. That's still not enough engagement with children. Now that's better, but it certainly doesn't sound like enough. Can I remind us today that an everlasting Father is always there for us? He is always present in our lives. He's not just going to abandon us. He's not going to be there during the good times and abandon us for the bad. He is going to be present in every circumstance of life. We've all got our own story. We've all got that thing that is following us today, that is just present in our life, that produces that image of God. Listen today, whatever your story is, lay it down today. Lay it down and remember that an everlasting Father is always there for you. Now, I've come to my third point today. This could perhaps be the shortest sermon you've heard me preach in a year. Some of you are going, oh, wow, we're going to get to the restaurant really early today. How can I make this a little longer? Let's see here. Here's third. An everlasting Father is always compassionate. When I've counseled down through the years of ministry and talked to people that have had difficult situations in the home, one thing that I find that rises to the top more often than anything else is a father who is not compassionate. Fathers who are overbearing. Fathers who just always seem to be a little too harsh to their children. Now, as a dad, I understand that struggle, because the dad is tasked to be a disciplinarian. It's part of our responsibilities of the home. And therefore, when we're tasked with being a disciplinarian, we feel like we've got to kind of man up. We got to rule the house, right? We got to take it seriously. We got to give some angry looks every now and then. Got to pound on that table. And sometimes in doing so, we can lose the compassionate side. You know, God is definitely a God of judgment. There's no doubt about it. God will judge the earth. We will be responsible to Him for what we do on this earth. But know this, God wants us to know something about Himself supremely above everything else, and is the fact that God is love. He is love. He wants you to know that today. He wants you to know it personally in your life. He wants you to feel that love that comes in and forgives your sins and begins a relationship with you that carries you through eternity. God, the everlasting Father, is always compassionate. Psalm chapter 103, verse 8 says this, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love." Boy, that's a beautiful verse. And definitely that separates Him from a lot of earthly fathers, because a lot of times we're not compassionate and gracious, and certainly sometimes we can be a little bit quick to be angry about something. What? You didn't clean up your room today? 40 lashes. No, I'm kidding about that. But we come down and we can get angry quickly. Don't raise your hands. Women, quit smiling, all right? And quit looking over at your husbands today, all right? It's making me uncomfortable up here. All right? I'm telling on us, dads. Hey, listen, I know how it goes. But I'm so thankful today that although the judgment of God is in place for this world, it's in place for this world. One thing I do know this is that God leans over the portals of heaven as He engages His people, His creation on earth, and He says, "I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want you to feel my compassion in your life on a daily basis." And I'm so glad that the Scripture says things of Him like His mercy is new every day. Because if you're like me, I have to keep coming back to Him and say, "God, I'm so sorry. I'm such an idiot. I got to do better, Lord. Here's my struggle, Lord." And God says, "I forgive you. I forgive you." He's compassionate with us over and over again. When you look at Jesus, our everlasting Father, through the lens of Scripture, it sure helps me. God speaking to you and to me. Wow. What's your memory today? Might be bad, but listen, don't miss this. I know we can be insensitive sometimes, but God is not insensitive. Let me read you another scripture. And we need to internalize these scriptures today. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Some of you love this verse. I've heard it said many times. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Today, you may have the idea that God stands over your life in judgment, and it just seems like one thing after another is going wrong. And sometimes we want to point a bony finger at heaven and say, "God, why is this happening? Why are you allowing this in my life? God, why are you throwing this at me?" But I want to remind you today that God says, "I don't have evil plans for you. I have plans that are good. Plans that have hope built into them. Plans to give you a future." Lean on that promise today. He's not angry with you. He is satisfied with you. He loves you. He cares about you. And if you get that, you've got the whole point of this message. I want you to leave this building today having a positive image about God, not a judgmental image about God. Unfortunately, down through the years, the church has hurt this image. Can I say that again? Sometimes the church has hurt the image of God. In our quest to be holy, in our quest to be righteous, in our quest to do things as they should be, in our quest to align ourselves in opposition of sin issues, sometimes the church has become very judgmental, and sometimes the church has become overly critical. And sometimes that image gets placed on God. And people don't want to get involved with churches because they've got a poor image of God. And sometimes we do that. I want to replace that today. I want to erase that. I want you to know that God loves you. He accepts you. He's satisfied with you. He can be an everlasting Father. William Barclay tells a story of a young boy who was seated by his dad in a worship service, and he was attempting to stay awake. Now, you don't get to see this every Sunday, but I get to see the people who are attempting to stay awake. And it's quite humorous. Each of you have your own style. I watch the different sleeping styles here in church. You know, some of you have the nodding thing going on where your eyes are closed, but you're still doing the nodding thing. Yes, Pastor, I am listening to you right now. I'm listening to you. Some of you got the nodding thing going on. Some of you have the droopy eye but tall eyebrow thing going on. And this is how, and you're just kind of doing this. You're just kind of glazed over. I can see a little bit of eyeball with you, but I know you're not all there. You know, you're struggling against it. Some of you gave up years ago. When it hits you in church, it's pretty much just this. I would call that the dead look, but, you know. So each of you got your sleeping style. This little boy was fighting against it, evidently, in this story. And his dad looked over and saw the poor son that was struggling against falling asleep in church. And his father abruptly raised his arm, and the little child thought, oh no, and he braced himself for the moment of impact because he thought he was about to get a hit from his dad to get him to wake up in church, all right? But he said at that moment, his father did something that forever changed his image of his dad. He put his arm all the way around his son, and he pulled him in tight, and he pulled his head over to his chest. And he said, for a moment, I didn't know what to do. Then I realized Dad was trying to comfort me. And for a moment, he just said, it's okay. Just come right here. And he said, I fell asleep on my dad's chest without retribution that day. And he said, I saw my father in a different light. Man, today, some of you have struggled with who God is in this life. And you've been holding him off because you think he's a dad that's going to just backhand you time to time when you just disrupt, when you have sin in your life, and God is just standing there ready to correct you at a moment. But today, can I get you to have a different image of God? One that reaches around you and pulls you into himself and says, just stay here, an everlasting Father of comfort. Can I say something to you today? Something that might get me in trouble with the deacons. It doesn't matter if you ever come to church again. It doesn't matter if you ever read your Bible again. It doesn't matter if you never pray again. It doesn't matter if you go into a tailspin in life that takes you down a bad, bad path. If you mess up your marriage, if you do everything wrong, let me remind you, there will always be a God that is right there with compassion for you. Now, I did not say that I think you need to engage in all of those or disengage in all of those. You know where I stand on those matters. But here's my point. This everlasting Father of compassion is always right at your side, at a moment's notice to shower you with love and forgiveness and mercy. And he wants that personal relationship with you. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 13, toward the end of the Bible, verse 5, simply says this, God speaking, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, never, never. That's the key verse, the key word in that verse. The last time I looked at the definition of that word never, it was never. God will always be there. A man fell into a pit, and he couldn't get himself out. And then along came a subjective person. And this subjective person looked down at the pit, and he saw the man, and he said, you know what? I feel for you down there. I feel for you. And he moved on. An objective person walked by the same pit and saw the man, and he said, it's logical. It is absolutely logical that someone would fall down into this pit. And he moved on. And then you had the Pharisaical person that came by, and he looked down the pit and he saw the guy, and he said, only bad people fall into pits. And he walked on. Then a mathematician, smart guy, came by and he looked down in there and he calculated just how big that pit was, and he moved on. Then a news reporter came along. They looked down the pit and they had to have the exclusive story of what was going on in that pit. They got it and they just moved on. Lo and behold, the IRS agent came by. And he looked down into that pit and saw that guy, and he wanted to know who was paying the taxes on that pit. And then he moved on. Then a self-pitying person came by, and he looked down in that pit, and he saw the guy, and he said, "That's a bad pit, but boy, you ought to see my pit." Didn't help, and he moved on. Then the hellfire and brimstone preacher came by, and he looked down into that pit. And he said, "Let me tell you something. You deserve your pit for what you've done." And he moved on. And then a Christian scientist came by and he observed that pit and the man, and he said, "This pit is just all in your mind. It's just all in your mind." And he moved on. Psychologist came by and he said this, "Your mother and your father are to blame for your being in that pit. It was your mother and your father's fault." And he moved on. And a self-esteem therapist came and said, "Just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and you can rise up out of that pit." And he moved on. And an optimist said, "Oh, listen, things could be much worse." He didn't help. He just moved on. Then the pessimist came by and he said, "I'm going to tell you what, this is a bad pit. This is a bad pit, but it's probably going to get worse than this." Then Jesus came by. And he took the man by the hand without saying a word, and he just lifted him out of the pit. You can look for answers and help in every walk of life. You rub shoulders with people all during your existence on this earth, and you're left questioning, what in the world just happened? Where are the people that are supposed to help me? I thought that person with good intentions was going to be the one. My doctor, my friend, my neighbor, my relative, my husband, my wife, my psychologist. All these people are supposed to help me. Listen, today there's a pit of humanity that only an everlasting Father can help you out of today. And He once again wants to introduce Himself to you, the one, the only everlasting Father. Lord, today, I've bragged on you. And I've bragged on you because I remember the time when I gave you my heart. And I remember how you came in and you forgave me. Even as a teenager, I'd struggle to find answers on my own, and I kept looking in the wrong directions. I kept having that feeling of dissatisfaction in my heart. Oh, I remember that day, October the 24th, 1982, when I came to know the everlasting Father. And I have never been the same since. You have been with me every step of the way. And God, I praise you. I lift you up, my everlasting Father, the only one who is deserving of this praise. And God, I've done my best today to portray you the way that Scripture show here. Jesus, I'm so glad you came to earth to reveal yourself. And Lord, undoubtedly, there's somebody still in this building today that has never surrendered their life or heart to you. May today please be that day when they don't walk out on the everlasting Father. Please help them to respond.